Would you like to hop into the phone booth with Bill and Ted, go back in time with Huey Lewis, and dive into the totally tubular world of the 1980s?
Welcome to Children of the 80s, the most excellent podcast that takes you on a nostalgia-fueled journey through the raddest decade in history.
Join Jim
and Lindsay
as we transport you to a time when neon ruled, big hair was gnarly, and the music was like totally radical.
Children of the 80s is the ultimate time machine to relive the most epic decade ever.
So grab your Walkman, dust off your VHS tape, and join us for a righteous blast from the past.
Get ready to rewind, reminisce, and rock out with Children of the 80s.
Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts and let the 80s magic begin.
The last day of school was always epic and kicked off that much-needed summer vacation. This week, we'll visit one of the best teen high school movies of the 90s. It took place in 1976. So grab a paddle, look out for moms with shotguns. It is Texas after all. And let's head to Houston for those Aerosmith tickets on this brand new episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. All right. On this podcast, we take a look at everything the 80s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. We'll do this by providing our personal experiences and hopefully stirring some awesome memories, fun, and nostalgia along the way. If you're new to the show, we're so excited that you found us. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by someone who still loves spanking freshmen, my good friend Rob.
Wow. Yeah. It's disclaimer time.
Disclaimer.
I feel like that needs its own disclaimer.
Oh, okay.
So here we go. Look, y'all, we like you.
We do.
We like you. But there's a lot of things about us you don't know anything about. Things you wouldn't understand. Things you couldn't understand. And things you shouldn't understand. What I'm trying to say is you don't want to get mixed up with guys like us. We're loners, rebels. There you go.
There you go. That was it. Oh, wow.
That's it.
Yep. You're so aggressive this afternoon. Yeah. What is happening right now?
That was a little tribute, too.
Oh, yeah.
No name in the tribute? Does that hit home?
Not initially.
No.
We'll see if anyone figures it out. How about this? First person to figure it out, email the show, and we'll send you a sticker.
I like it.
Yep. The first person that guesses your
perfect
hidden message or whatever it is you're trying to do there.
All right. Right? I love it.
Well, welcome, Rob. Thanks for that great hello.
Yeah.
But we're not alone, as usual, when we do our movies. Joining us in the studio, you know him, you love him, the Recall Movie Hound. It is, of course, Kurt. Welcome back, Kurt.
All righty. Thank you for having me back another time. You still another bring time. Me back. I can't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, you're not doing anything else.
Well, that's so true.
we're obligated. We signed a contract.
Yep. It gets you out of the house. His contract consists of one meal, and that's it. That's
and the wife contract. Asked that he be removed from the house.
That's right. Okay. Well, yeah. That makes sense.
He's not allowed inside. He has to go to the bathroom outside.
Mm-hmm. I can dig a hole.
But you have a farm, so there's lots of places to go.
Yeah, hence I got the...
Hence you're dressed like a farmer today.
I got my... This is awesome.
Overall.
He just came in from cutting some corn.
They do smell funny.
No, that's good.
Way to share that. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. So,
anyway.
Well, you might smell funny, but there's nothing funny about this show. Well, no, that's not true. We like to be funny all the time.
Yeah.
Nope. I think you had it right the first time. Nothing funny. Straight laced.
Oh wait, never mind. Yeah. We're gonna play it straight up this time. So well, Rob, Kurt, and I love putting on this show every week. Well, Kurt when he shows up.
That's right.
And we couldn't do it without all of our subscribers and listeners. So please continue to help us grow the show so we can share our fun memories with as many people as possible. If you haven't done so, please hit that subscribe button. That helps us grow the show and share it with a friend. Just one other person. Send it to them. You know they like the 80s and 90s. You know they'll love Rob and I, even when he's wearing overalls. So it's going to be great. After you're done listening, give us a quick 5 stars and a review. Tell us what you think. We like to read the feedback. And finally, get in touch with us on any of the social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, X, as it's called now, instead of Twitter, and YouTube. We are on the YouTube there, Rob. They can see our shiny, happy faces.
We are on the YouTube. Right?
Yeah. You can also email us at 80s90srecall@gmail.com with show ideas, questions, or just heap praise about how many great things I say during this episode and how Rob can't hit his cues most of the time. So we love hearing from the audience, and we can't wait to read reviews and reactions.
Yeah, we do like reading the reviews.
Oh, it's our favorite thing.
They're fun.
So with all that, Rob, what is our topic for this week?
So at the time of the recording this year, we are looking at the classic movie, Dazed and Confused, which is turning 30.
30?
30 Ooh, years old.
Nice. So, yeah. And you use classic? You don't use descriptive words very often. Sometimes you just gloss over things.
No, I do. This is a classic. This is good.
Classic, Kurt? Yep.
Most definitely a classic.
Most mm-hmm. definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, yeah, we'll be talking about that, diving into the movie.
Well, when you think of 90s high school movies, this is the one that I think of more than any other, at least for me. And just to make you feel old, as Rob said, 30 years this movie's been out. You wouldn't think so, but as of the podcast, he is absolutely correct. That's how old it is. I remember seeing it for the first time at the end of my senior year in high school, so that would have been 1994. A couple of us rented it, and it was hilarious, a little crazy, pretty cool. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Fell in love, and I rented it. Yes, I did go and rent it, Hollywood Video, down at the Milwaukee Marketplace.
Yeah.
Yes.
Was that Hollywood? So Blockbuster?
No, it was a Hollywood.
Hollywood?
Hollywood.
Yeah, it was over there in that corner. Mm-hmm. I didn't think we got a Blockbuster for a while. We weren't that cool. We weren't cool enough.
Yeah.
So, and for you, Rob, great soundtrack.
Great soundtrack.
Great soundtrack.
It's excellent.
Excellent.
I actually own it.
You do? Is it on the shelf?
It's on the shelf.
It's on the shelf. Yep. Nice. Yep. Do you still listen to it, or have you made it digital at this point?
I've kind of gotten digital.
Okay. Yeah.
Every now and then I'll pull out.
Really good soundtrack, though.
Yeah. Got to pull out the old Disc Man to listen to the
scene. Pull out the old Disc Man.
Yeah.
Nice. So, well, before we dive in and break this movie down a little bit, tell me first memory or remembering of seeing the movie or what you thought about it the first time, any of that stuff.
Well, we've probably discussed this before. I'm not much of a movie guy. Movies, not my music. It was kind of my thing. Yes. But, and it's been a long time since I watched it. So I have to be honest, seeing it for getting ready for the show is it's been a while since I'd seen it. So it was kind of a throwback for me.
Nice.
So
when I first saw this, I remember I was like, why are they continuing to hit these children and nobody's doing anything about it?
That's fine.
That's just what struck me the most. I was like, that's not right. They shouldn't be doing this, but okay. Sounds good.
Just getting them ready for high school. That's all.
I guess.
Yeah.
Or prison.
And even when it did come out, I remember, I don't know that we ran out and saw it right away, but I do remember even at that time, the catchphrases that came out of it.
Yeah.
It was pretty quick.
Yeah.
Quick turnaround.
Well,
the catchphrases became kind of cultural icon.
Yeah, I didn't see it because it came out in 93 and I didn't see it. But as we'll share, a lot of people didn't see it in 93. Yeah. Actually, I was over at the first time I saw it, it was again towards the end of my senior year. I was over at Drew's house, Drew Hines. Mm-hmm. Yes. And Alan was over there as well. Mm-hmm. And they had rented it and I was there and we started watching it and they had seen it before. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And they're like, I can't believe you haven't seen this before. This is great, you know. They were shocked that, I don't know, I was living in a bubble of some sort. So
in a van down by the river?
I was in a van down by the river. Yeah. I am 35 years old, and I am divorced. But I remember watching it and immediately going, oh, this is, I like this. Let's just go with that.
Yeah.
Right? Afterwards, I shook my head and go, I like that.
That's what you did.
That'll do, pig.
Well,
that'll do.
Well done, gents.
Well done, gentlemen. I think I did stand up and clap a little bit. And Drew and Alan are like, sit down. What are you doing?
It's too much.
What is happening right now?
Rob probably watched it for the first time at his babysitter's house.
Probably. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He's too old.
No, he still needs a babysitter now.
So 93.
So when he was like a sophomore in high school, he's still going to the babysitter? Yeah.
That is correct.
My parents didn't trust me.
They still don't. Now his wife doesn't trust him.
No, yeah. He needs now a new babysitter. Yep. There you go. She's the new babysitter. Yeah. So, yeah, I just thought it was awesome. And, yeah, I immediately went and re-rented it. And then I watched it again. And so I ended up with it on VHS at some point. And then graduated to the DVD.
Ooh, the DVD. Did you see what it came out on first? Before any other media, it came out on Laserdisc.
Why?
I don't know why it came out on Laserdisc.
It came out in 93.
Yeah, it came out like 2 months early.
Who still had a Laserdisc? The only people that had Laserdisc was somebody's like older brother that had hung on to it.
Quite honestly, I don't remember anybody having a Laserdisc. I remember the schools had them.
Yeah, I remember
when they transitioned to them. That was a big deal.
Science class had one.
Yeah. And they were... Bigger than a record.
Yes.
They were bigger than.
So do you think we were going to watch them in school? Let's bring this to school.
I don't know.
That'd have been cool, though.
It would have been like a documentary.
Kind of.
I want to be in a school cool enough to watch this.
Yeah. It's got
to
be cool enough.
I want to be cool enough. So far, I am not.
We will never be.
That's never be. Yeah. We can try, though, Rob.
As the movie said, they were the kings of the school.
Yes.
Kings of the school.
I was not, ever.
You were like a court jester?
I don't think I was even that.
You weren't at court at all?
No. I was just an extra.
I was just a peasant on the outside of
the
court.
On the outside?
Yes.
Trying to get some potatoes.
I was not allowed into the castle walls.
Oh, okay.
Please,
he would have been.
Lisa, may I have some more?
He definitely would have been targeted for the heart dug out with a spoon technique.
That's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, well, whether or not the party's been shut down, we're still going to drink beer, chase some girls, dream about Abraham Lincoln. And maybe break a few mailboxes as we get dazed and confused. Dazed and Confused, in my opinion, was a big moment for young adults in the 90s. From the soundtrack to the overall adventure shown on screen, even though it was in 1976, in my opinion, it felt like you and your friends in high school. I remember driving around Milwaukee, not having much to do, ending up at Sherry's, kind of like their top notch. So now we may not have all had a 23-year-old creepy friend that we hung out with, but they did exist somewhere. I'm sure they were wandering around Milwaukee and in other towns across the United States.
Now we just have 40-year-old creepy
friends.
Not as
cool. Yeah, right here. Not as cool as Wooderson, though. But before we dive into everything that makes this movie great... Let's get some important details on the movie. And for that, we turn to the Hound himself. Give it to us, Kurt.
All righty. Dazed and Confused was released September 24th, 1993. It had a budget of only $6.9 million, but sadly only made $8 million at the box office. So it stars relative unknowns at the time. We got Jason London, Ben Affleck, Mila Jovovich, Cole Hauser, Parker Posey, Adam Goldberg, Nikki Catt, Joey Lauren Adams, and in his first movie, Matthew McConaughey. All right. And it had a Rotten Tomato score of 92 and an audience score of 90. So even though the low box office, everyone seemed to love it.
Love it.
So it's beloved by all. It's basically flopped at the box office, though, but became a huge hit on home video or Laserdisc. And ultimately a cult classic. So, Rob, tell us what this movie is about.
So it is May 28th, 1976, the last day of the academic year at Lee High School in the suburbs of Texas. Skipping class, smoking weed, and thinking about the big keg party tonight at Kevin Pickford's house is the order of the day. High on the mind of star football quarterback Randall Pink Floyd is the pledge. The coach wants all the returning players to sign, vowing that they won't do drugs or drink during the summer break so as not to jeopardize their upcoming supposed championship season. Pink is the only player who has not signed, and as he feels it would infringe upon his individual rights. Today is also the traditional hazing day where seniors traumatize the freshmen. Amongst all the freshmen, Mitch Kramer is the biggest target, if only because of a not-so-innocent request by his popular upperclassman sister, Jody Kramer, to her male classmates. These thoughts and activities continue as day turns into night, and as the keg party doesn't end up quite as planned. It was the last day of school in 1976, a time they'd never forget. Now, if they could only remember.
Ooh, that is a great synopsis.
Excellent.
And I will tell you, before we get into anything, the sister Jody, I love the sister Jody.
Yeah.
She was always, there's a lot of hot girls in this movie, but Jody, is my favorite.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
She's a little bit of a tease.
I like it.
You heard it here first, folks. David likes to be teased. First.
Leading people into the forest.
Beep. Yes. Yeah. And then saying, but you have a girlfriend.
Yeah. What girlfriend?
She knew what she was doing. Yeah. She's laying the groundwork. That's all.
All right. She didn't lay down at
still
all.
Still a whole senior year coming up. She didn't lay it down at all.
And then she just left.
No, and then she's up. Just left.
Wow.
Poor Pink.
Anyway, so poor Pink.
Poor Pink.
I think he survived.
He might. You win some, you lose some.
That's what he said.
That's right.
He really wasn't that concerned.
No, he wasn't.
He really wasn't.
But so I love the opening shot of this movie. It's just that car coming into the parking lot.
Car.
Playing the song. Yeah, I think it's just awesome the way it comes in. And then you kind of just, they kind of walk you through a few of the characters right away.
Mm-hmm.
So Pink Floyd and the sister, Benny. You're going to all the classes. They're kind of hanging out in the last day of school or whatnot.
Teacher's sleeping.
I like it.
Oh, yeah.
You're a teacher. Do you condone the sleeping?
I do not condone the sleeping. I have never slept the classroom.
Good. Rob, did you sleep when you were still a classroom person?
Not as a teacher, no.
Oh, okay. No. Even when they were on recess?
One day I was sick enough that I kind of just told the kids we couldn't get a sub, and I just said, you kids kind of
do whatever you want.
Just keep it down.
And I was on borderline sleeping.
Should have had them play that game we played when we were in school, that heads up, seven up. They just got to put their head on the table.
I'm going to play two, kids.
Rob's going to play two. Making,
what about Duck Duck Goose?
Hammer bongs. You know,
so. Hammer.
What's wrong with that?
Well, making bongs out of the hammer there.
Yeah. That shop scene is great.
That is good.
It's great.
By the way, and that's the guy sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shop teacher doesn't care.
No.
At all.
No.
Which is great.
Yeah. No safety hazards in shop class. No.
Yeah. They're making paddles. They're making bongs.
Yep.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. There's the one scene of Benny. Where he's at the drill and he's drilling the holes in his paddle, and a big sign right on the drill says "Wear your goggles." And he has
goggles
them
on his head.
And he's got them up on his head. And I was like, I remember that in shop classes, we all had our goggles, but they would be like
on the
pushed back on our head. We were wearing them, they weren't covering the part.
Love every shop teacher I ever had being like, "All right, when you use the band saw, do this. When you use the table saw, do this." And then they'd be missing part of their thumb.
Mine was a chemistry teacher missing three fingers.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Blew them off?
Apparently.
Making some
we don't know what happened to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the horror stories of going around to each machine. That was good.
Yeah. But I just like the opening of the movie because they do such a great job. Again, you kind of get all the characters at the high school. Even some of the minor characters. You figure out quickly O'Banion flunked because I love when the O'Banion flunked. Yeah, what a dumb shit.
Yeah.
Right? I love that. Mm-hmm. He rolls in. By the way, he didn't come to school on the last day, so they must have notified him, and he's like, I got to do it again anyway. Oh. So, because he comes late.
Oh, yeah,
and
then
the seniors were already done because they probably already graduated and gone.
So. And he only cared about one thing. O'Banion's only existing in this day to do one thing, and that is to smack freshmen with that paddle. That's all he cares about.
Confirmed kills.
19 of them.
That's all he cares about. So, but yeah, this movie does a great job. You see you almost meet all the girls. You meet all the guys. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say this movie's mostly from the perspective of the guys because Pink Floyd is kind of your main character. Mm-hmm. And then everyone's around him kind of supporting.
True.
You know, because Pink's basically in every scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else is kind of peripheral to that. Mm-hmm. So, and you have the girls. They have some scenes. Obviously, their big hazing scene.
Mm-hmm.
But really, there's not a lot of. There's just a few interactions where the girls are by themselves talking in the truck, maybe a couple times in the car. But really, it's kind of male-driven for the most part.
You're right. Pink's it's all about.
He's driving.
It's his decision.
Well,
it's all about his decision, really.
Pink's decision, and then you throw in a little of the Mitch Kramer stuff once Mitch gets introduced.
Good old Mitchie.
To the party, right?
Mitchie.
Yeah. I love that. I love that they roll up on the school.
Mm-hmm.
Benny just breaks out the CB and... Teachers don't care. No one cares.
And teacher listens and he just starts laughing.
Well, threatening the students. I mean, straight up. And so
I like that.
That's it.
They're actually drinking a beer while they're standing there.
Yeah.
Oh no. Yeah.
Well, and then the kids later they go up to him and teacher, is there any way you can let us out early? And he's like, it's like my sergeant said, in Nam or whatever. He goes, 50 you'll go in. Only 25 you'll come out.
That's great. He said any extra couple minutes,
Mr. Payne.
I gotta tell you though, if I'm the wannabe freshman, and they're saying that,
oh,
I just get one smack from each
that's
of them.
That's a deal.
I'm going to take that deal.
I told my wife that. I said, take the deal.
But here's my question is.
But that's just from the three in the truck, not the rest of the seniors.
Are Benny, O'Banion, and Mel going to guarantee that the other juniors are going to leave me alone?
That's true.
Are they guaranteeing O'Banion's not going to come around?
Well, O'Banion's with them, so he's signing off on the deal right here, right?
Was he with them yet?
No.
Well, he... Because
they pick him up.
It was Benny,
after
Don,
they come
and
back.
Yeah.
Benny, Don, and Mel.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And then there's that other guy driving around in the blue truck. There's a real quick scene of him. He's got his hand out with the
I wrote down his paddle.
But, but I think Benny and Donnie are kind of the biggest popular tough guys, I think, at the school. So I think they could probably tell the other juniors, hey, we already got that dude laid off, right? Mm-hmm. So if that's guaranteed, I'm going straight to the truck. Yeah. Be like, let's get it done.
And you saw it with, I know he wasn't doing any paddling, but you saw it with Pink.
Yeah.
The way he treated Mitch, you know, where he was like, he gave him some insider trading kind of, like, hey, if you just do this and then show up at this party tonight, that's going to go a long way in your favor.
Yeah, it's going to show.
And, you know, he didn't even paddle him that one time. And so I think you're right. I think Pink, you take the deal, and you're in. That's a good deal.
I think it's a great deal.
You can tell the nicer guys because they didn't actually have their own paddle.
Yeah.
Yeah, just using other people's
paddle. Pink didn't have a paddle. Don didn't have his own paddle.
Don didn't have his own paddle. Yeah. I would assume in that group of juniors, there's some very motivated ones, and there's other ones that are like, they probably didn't like it when they were freshmen, and so they're not trying to really relive it. Because like you said, Pink does the high, and then he just gives them a quick little tap.
And I would argue that you take O'Banion out of it, and they'll probably go a little softer on him. He was
Benny had a really good time.
I think Benny's excited about this.
But
because when O'Banion says let's switch hit, Benny is in quick.
Yeah. Poor Hirschfelder.
Because he really likes it. I think O'Banion gets off on it. He likes it.
Well, of course he does.
Yeah. Yes.
But every school's got to have a badass.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
O'Banion just gets the pleasure of doing it two years in a row.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. So, and then you switch over to the other side. I would say the girls are doing it the other way. The girls are taking the deal where I'm in 8 Hayes today, and I guess the result of this, because they never really lay it out, is it means you're going to be popular now next year, because they only chose certain girls. Because when she goes and picks out Sabrina, she's like, are you in or you out? She goes, well, I wasn't one of the... She just said, are you in or out? She goes, I'm in, I guess. So I guess that's the identified next Mean Girls crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the two girls behind Sabrina that didn't get picked, they were not very happy.
Oh,
with Sabrina getting picked.
Yeah, their face.
And I think that's kind of a theme, that a through line in all of it is, because he, at the end, at the 50-yard line, Wooderson makes that monologue where he talks about L-I-V-I-N, you know, living. And he talks about basically kind of hinting at the rest of your life, you're going to be having to decide to do what somebody else tells you to do, you know, or are you going to live your own kind of life? And so, then there's, you know, so you got these girls that are being hazed in that at the moon tower party where she kind of has to, she says, you know, air raid.
Yeah.
And she kind of just says, no, I'm not doing it. Yeah. And so here's this chance to stand up to the popular kids. And she goes, I'm going to make your next year hell.
Yeah.
She was like,
well, I think the expectation was outside of the torture pit that you weren't doing that. Like, we already did that.
Right.
And by the way, going through a car wash wouldn't
not
be
fun.
That great. I wouldn't think that felt good.
No.
But they did wash them off.
I guess.
So I love
really
the quote.
Got the ketchup and mustard out.
I love the quote Mike tells Tony, a couple of our characters in the parking lot. He goes, she might not look too bad once you wipe all the shit off of her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you do the, I don't know. You got that opening scene. You're establishing the male hazing. You did the female hazing. And I don't know. And then I watched the rest of the movie. This is almost one of my few, I would say, perfect movies. Like, I can always watch this movie. There's lots of movies I like. But if I turn on certain movies that I love, every now and again, I'll be like, I don't feel like watching this right now. Mm-hmm. I've never not. If I find it on TV or I'm just not doing anything and I'll start it, I will always watch Dazed and Confused. Mm-hmm. And I know every line and I know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I saw several Reddit posts or, you know, online conversations where people, you know, granted I was born in 77. I have no idea what living in 1976 was like.
Like I said at the beginning, I know it's 76 and I know that's the close and I know what's going on, but it could have just as easily been 1993. Yeah, the interactions amongst everybody, I mean, minus the paddling, but the interactions of just kind of driving around. Oh, what are you doing tonight? Oh, where are we going? Oh, what's happening? Like that happened in Milwaukee.
Well,
I don't know if that happened in Yakima.
What a lot of people
we met at Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
What a lot of people were saying online is that people that did grow up in 76, you know, that were juniors and seniors in 76 in Texas. You know, multiple discussion posts online were saying this is basically a documentary.
Oh, it is.
They're like, it was very accurate. And even my wife watching it, she goes, yeah, there are times where the acting wasn't, it wasn't really great acting, but she goes, it was really real.
Yeah.
And so there, it almost gave a documentary feel to it. Yeah. And that's, I think, what was really cool.
Laurel's mom says it's perfect. Like, it's spot on.
Yeah.
Like, she goes, the clothes are perfect. Mm-hmm. She goes, their mannerism. And she grew up in Washington State, and this is Texas. So I guess that permeated everywhere, because she's like, this is perfect. Like, she goes, this is exactly what it was like.
Yeah.
And she goes, the cars, everything. So. Yeah. So many nice cars.
I know. How do the kids teenagers. Have such nice cars?
Oof. Yeah, when I was looking at most of the dates that, you know, they were, you know, this is 76. These are
72,
new.
Oh, yeah.
These are pretty new cars, you know.
But to be fair, a car didn't cost as much in 76 and 72. Well, I'll tell you how important this movie is, Rob. There was a time in college, you and I and a couple other friends sat around my living room, and we decided to enter the Century Club. So we did a 100 shots of beer in 100 minutes.
I remember that.
This is the movie we were watching to pass the time.
He does not remember that.
He does not remember that.
Yeah, that
it was a rough night.
That night was a blur.
To be fair, only myself, Rob, and Jenny survived the 100 shots.
Yeah, that's right.
So that was rough. Jenny, the funny one was she, it was like we're in the 90s.
Yeah. And she's got to throw up.
She ran out our front door, puked in the bushes, ran back in, and made it before the minute was up to take the next shot. So,
yeah, and I'm not condoning. I apologize to my liver.
Oh,
and I don't.
And we're not condoning drinking to our listeners.
But if anybody out there is going, 100 shots of beer,
easy,
and
piece of cake.
Take a
shot.
It.
See what goes out. Yeah, see what happens.
You get 20 minutes.
Did you ever try it?
I never did the 100 shot club.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I was a good boy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's debatable.
I can just remember.
No, I didn't like beer, so I would play drinking games with straight vodka.
We'd have the
timekeeper, and I just always remember thinking that was not a minute.
It was always a minute.
Man, it just they were coming. They were
my
coming.
My wife was the first timekeeper.
I think my wife was at one time.
Yeah, my wife did it, and she's like, "Go." And well, when you start, real quick, you start. It feels like a minute. Between each.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you get about 30, 40 in, you like take it as soon as you put it back on the table. She's like, okay, take the next one. You're like, what?
Yeah,
what? Like you barely had time to get to the fridge to get another beer. And I don't know. So anyway, So that's how important this movie is, Rob. This was the movie we watched when we joined the Century Club.
Okay.
So,
that's good. That's cool.
And then later we danced and sang to some Milli Vanilli.
Nice.
Blame It on the Rain.
Wow.
Girl, you know it's true.
Good girl.
I tried to do the side dances that they did in their videos and you laugh. Then you laugh. Yes. Rob couldn't control himself. He laughed.
He's a bit of a giggler.
He is a giggler, especially when he gets drunk.
I do like to giggle.
He does. It's giggling's fun. So another good chunk of information about this. A huge chunk. In fact, I think it was a sixth of the movie's budget went to securing rights.
I saw that.
To the music. So he wanted that soundtrack and he wanted those songs. And it took almost the whole budget just to secure all the music for the movie. So
and the movie's named after Led Zeppelin and stuff, but they couldn't get any Led Zeppelin because they wouldn't do out their rights to anybody.
Yeah. They wouldn't. Yes. So, which is fortunate then that they were hiring a bunch of really nobody actors and actresses at the time because you don't have to pay them very much. No.
I have here in my notes in a Rolling Stone review, 1993 review of this movie, they described it as a shit-faced American graffiti. This is the ultimate party movie, loud, crude, socially irresponsible, and totally irresistible.
Oh, yeah.
That was a 1993 review. I thought the shit-faced American graffiti.
Sounds good.
This is...
But it's legit. I think that was an accurate description. It was our generation's version of a, you know, or not even our generation, I guess it'd be. But my dad, I can remember watching American Graffiti and my dad just going, oh my gosh, that was cruising the strip, you know, when he was a kid.
Well, the director, Richard Linklater, he said that that's what his point was, to be the 90s American Graffiti. That was its job.
Perfect.
So he did that. So this is one of Quentin Tarantino's top 10 favorite movies.
I did read that.
So if Quentin likes it, that's when you know that it's a great movie. So some of the stars that tried out for it that got turned down for roles: Claire Danes, Elizabeth Berkeley, one Jesse Spano, Ashley Judd,
Mr. Brendan Fraser,
Oscar winner,
that's right,
Brendan Fraser, John Favreau, and Vince Vaughn, also auditioned and were told no. So, but I will tell you, except for maybe one to two, I think the cast is perfect as they are. Like, I couldn't imagine other people kind of in the roles that you had. No one else could be Wooderson because I'm pretty sure they invented that.
I still like the story of how he got the audition.
Yep.
Shit-faced at the bar with the casting director, and they both get kicked out of the bar.
They get kicked
out
of the bar.
So they invite him over to do an audition.
By the way, same casting director for Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes.
Where he also...
He was good at his job.
...hired a bunch of unknown teenage types, because at the time, Phoebe Cates, Judge Reinhold, Sean Penn, these weren't household names. Yeah, no. And so he had the same thing. So, and originally, only two lines in the script. And he told him that. He said, there's only two lines in the script, but I think you'd be perfect for it. And then when he showed up on set, he delivered the lines so well. And the two lines were the, I get older, they stay the same age.
Terrible.
And then the, hey man, do you have a joint? It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Yeah.
Those were the only two lines Wooderson originally had. And then once they had him, well, even segue further, the kid who played Pickford, he was supposed to have more lines. But he was a big pain in the ass on the set.
Yep.
And then him and Mila Jovovich would wander off. They actually got married during filming and everything. And so, and she was supposed to have a bigger role, but because they were such a pain in the ass, they basically reduced their role down to nothing. And they gave McConaughey a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's basically
and then,
what happened.
You know, there's movie history, right? Like, I mean, hindsight being 20, they had no idea.
No.
But can you imagine that movie without McConaughey?
No, it wouldn't be.
I mean,
like I said, I think. Yeah, I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't imagine another Pink. I think that kid plays it perfect, London. Benny's a perfect that. I couldn't imagine another O'Banion. Yeah. I mean, Affleck nails being just a jerk off in this movie to a T, you know. He's kind of one, right?
Yeah.
It's a benefit.
Yeah. So I don't think it's a hard, I don't think it's hard for him.
No.
So
I couldn't imagine people in these other roles. So you say Wooderson, yes. I think you lose a couple of your all-time liners without Wooderson. But I think the movie itself loses some if you don't have the right guys in those spots. The kid playing Slater is, I mean, who else is pulling that off? I mean, he's perfect with the hair and the, that's what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah. I had read somewhere that a lot of Wooderson's dialogue was improvised.
Oh, yeah.
That just on the whim. And
yeah, I guess that cast director, Don Phillips was his name. They would just be like, what do you think here? And then he would just feed it in. When he pulls up next to him in the car, the redhead, he's like, all right, all right, all right. And then he said, ooh, I love them redheads. Yeah. That wasn't in the script. Yeah, he just threw it in there. So,
why don't you ditch the nerds in the car?
Do you need a ride? I got a car.
I love that. It's so good. Yeah,
but we'll deal with that later.
Well, and then the guy who plays Mitch Kramer, Wiley Wiggins, literally the director, they said they had auditioned a bunch of kids and nobody was working. They walked into a coffee shop in Austin and he was just standing there getting coffee. And he walked out and he goes, you want to be in a movie?
Oh, yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And he was like, sure.
We'll
and so they brought him over and he became Mitch Kramer. But one problem, he literally could not throw a baseball.
Oh, wow.
They said
but he strikes
for weeks,
to get out.
For weeks, they practiced. And Richard Linklater, the director's like, well, every kid can throw. We just got to have him practice a couple times.
Nope.
They said it was hideous. Like, he couldn't get it 4 feet off the ground. Everything was bad. So they just got it down to where he could do the motion when they filmed him from the front. And everything you see when the ball goes, it's another kid throwing the ball from the back, basically wearing a wig.
Yeah.
But they had to because they said weeks they spent trying to get him to throw a ball, and he could not do it. He'd throw it 40 feet to the left. He'd throw it 40 feet to the right.
He seems so athletic.
It's awful. And I saw an interview with Wiley Wiggins, and he was like, yeah, I couldn't do it. He goes, I tried. He goes, I'd never thrown a baseball before. And he goes, I haven't since. And he goes, I just can't do it. So, but yeah, so they had that. So, I think all the roles are just, they're perfect. There's a couple I think you could add other people in and it wouldn't have changed it much. But somebody different Wooderson would have changed it.
Yeah,
somebody different than Slater would have changed it. I think somebody different, he's a relatively unknown now. He didn't act a lot after, but the guy who plays Donnie, Sasha Jensen, whatever his name is, I think he's perfect in the role he's playing. He's kind of that cool, not really give a crap guy and all that stuff.
Yeah, he was funny. I enjoyed him as I'm rocking the overalls.
Rocking the overalls. And all the peripheral characters around him. I mean, just so subtle as even the, I've been in Texas, the old guy who comes up to him and like, this arm ready to throw 2,000 yards next year? That old guy is really concerned that they're going to win
one of those
state championships.
At every Friday night football game.
He's like, you boys are looking good. 22 Letterman.
By the way, there's no way in 76 he's throwing 2,000 yards of football.
Yeah. So
They are running the football, and that is it.
Yeah, I think you and I were talking about that. Yeah. Do we think Mel's the running back? So, because Pink's the quarterback. So what's Mel's position? I'm going to go running back or fullback, one of those two. And Donnie, tight end?
Tight end. I thought he was the fullback.
Fullback. And then, you know.
What's Benny?
Benny, I think offensive line.
Because he said he's no other guy you want.
And then on defense, on defense, I would put Benny. He'd probably either be a linebacker or a lineman. So either hunting quarterbacks.
Because O'Banion's a lineman, too.
O'Banion's lineman. Because he says it's great having him block for you, O'Banion. So O'Banion's blocking people. So he's an offensive lineman. That's for sure. But I'm going to guess Mel's on defense, too. Safety, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning, I love Mel because Mel's literally playing craps at the school. You roll in and they're playing dice. And what does he say?
I don't know what he said.
I thought he got some money off of him, and he says something as he's slamming the
He does win, but then later when he's playing pool, he loses.
He just gives all his money. Well, he didn't lose it. He gave it away.
Well, no, he gave – Wooderson beat him in pool, so he gives it to him.
But, I mean, it got
then
donated.
Then he gives away all the
– It got donated to the beer bus, so
– That's right.
I guess it's a good investment, even though he lost at pool. But, yeah, the peripheral characters I think are real good, too. You talked about that one teacher at the junior high school.
Mr. Payne.
The freshman Carl's mom, she comes out with that
shotgun.
Yes. there were some ruffians about.
Yeah, that's right.
They said that was improvised,
too. Escorting your fine young
son's home.
Speaking of shotgun, their phrase throughout the movie, shotgun, when they're calling the site. I sort of recall that kind of being the first place I heard that.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
We used to do it.
You know,
but we did it like when we'd go places and ride with people. Yeah, I got shotgun.
And I was trying to remember, did we do that? Was that prior to this movie? I'm trying to remember.
Once I was driving and once, even when I was riding with people, I remember Ryan and I would ride with Rizvi. And as we'd go outside, we'd be like, shotgun. As soon as you, because the rule was you had to break the seal of the outdoors.
But even that though, right? Even the way that they captured the inner workings of your social crew and who sat in the front, who sat in the back, and who called it. There was a pecking order on who got to be in the passenger seat. And there was a pecking order on who got the back seat. I mean,
Slater's always in the back seat.
You know, and that's just, it was kind of interesting how they captured that really well, I thought.
And he tries to be like, well, I'm going to give you shotgun.
Because I'm going inside.
Because I'm going in.
So I want you to remember that.
Well, he says, I'm giving you shotgun because.
Yeah.
So, but I also like, too, how they capture, so Pink, to me, Pink is like everyone's friend. So he goes amongst all the groups. But then when you have like O'Banion and Benny pulled up and dropped him off, they tell Slater to F off and Slater flips them off. So they're not hanging out with him. So Donnie and Pink seem to go amongst all the groups. And then you have Benny and them in the jock group. And then you have some of the other ones. So I think that was Pink's vibe, though. He just wanted to kind of be friends there because he's friends with, I guess, who we're tagging the nerd group to. You've got Cynthia, the redhead.
Well, yeah.
And then you got Mike and Tony.
Because he plays poker with them.
They play poker together. And like this, they make it seem like they're going out tonight, and this is the first time they've done any sort of social outing that's not.
Tony doesn't like parties.
Them any point. Tony doesn't like anything.
No, yeah. Tony.
No, he's a misanthrope.
He's something.
Yeah.
He likes Sabrina.
Yeah, and then.
I would have a hard time hanging out with Tony.
Well, what is that when they're in the car and he talks, he goes on that kind of a little mopey monologue.
He's mopey the whole time.
Then somebody goes, oh, life of the party.
Life of the party. he's great. Nobody likes. Yeah. That's why the Tony-Sabrina connection is the most confusing thing in the whole movie. Like, she could talk to anybody she wants to, and she's targeted down the white pasty guy who is dreaming about Abraham Lincoln. And,
well, you know, she's young. She doesn't know. She's gonna find out real quick, and she's gotten
a broad scope of all the dudes, and she honed right in on him like immediately. Yeah. So, I mean, what's her face helped the sister? Forget
what. I was gonna say. I just pointed to
what's the sister's name?
Jody.
Yeah. So Jody brings her over, and I like Jody too because Jody. Well, I already established that I like Jody because I think she's hot. She was also in Coneheads. She was the daughter
in
Coneheads.
Right. So. That's right.
And Major League Two, if you haven't checked that out.
Been a long time.
So, I like when she brings her over. She's kind of like Pink, where she's the anti person because she's like. What are you guys doing over here? BSing? She goes, I'm supposed to be being a bitch. And then she pulls her back to the thing. You know what I mean? So she's kind of like where Pink is, where he doesn't spank him.
Yes.
But he's kind of in part of it. She's doing the same thing.
Yeah. Well, and doesn't she invite?
Yeah. She invites Sabrina out.
Yeah.
Just like Pink invites
yeah.
Mitch okay. out. Yeah. He's, right.
She's so, very, yeah.
And what a night for those two, huh?
Yeah,
what are they, 13?
Yes. I know. That is a night.
Like, yeah.
I honestly, we've gone to school. We all went to high school. We finished college. I hate to come tell Mitch, you might not get a better night than that right there. That was
all downhill, Mitch.
Well, you're hanging out with guys you'll probably never hang out with again. Mm-hmm. You're getting shot at.
But we assuming the next year he would hang out with those guys? Because I thought that was part of that initiation.
That's
right?
True. Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is the night started out, like you said, perfect. He gets introduced to all these guys. He's buying Sixers. He's mm-hmm. doing all this. They get O'Banion back. Then he ends up mm-hmm. making out with the girl at the end of the night. You're not
and mom lets him off completely.
Mom
at the
just
end.
Says you're good.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You're like get your one good, yeah. get yeah. out of jail free. Good one.
You come all again. Right. You come yeah. in Perfect. Home again at sunset, and we're gonna have problems.
There's right. not gonna be a better night than that. No. Mm-hmm. You might put some of those pieces together in a night again, but mm-hmm. that whole lineage of time,
yeah.
throwing bowling balls, doing all mm-hmm. the things.
And I think there's an element of Mitch knows that when he lays down in a bed and he puts his headphones on.
Yeah.
I think there's a. There's a sense of totally worth it.
This is it.
Yeah.
Like worth it. Any punishment I was going to receive, worth it.
Once you are out past midnight at that point, mm-hmm. just come in at 3.
Just yeah. come in. Yeah.
Because guess what? The grounding's the same. Mm-hmm. Like it's happening. And yeah. I'm with Mitch. The after baseball game, totally worth it.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of what happened that night, totally worth it.
Yeah.
I'll take that 20-minute beating, that's whatever right. that was. And Benny's going to sign my hat later? Or yeah, I'll yeah. let you sign my paddle yeah, later.
My paddle.
That's
you can
what it
sign
is.
My yeah. paddle later.
You can sign yeah. my paddle later. Yeah. For Mitch, and really Sabrina. Now, Sabrina, she could get a better night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stuck we'll go with Tony
ahead,
all night.
We'll go ahead and let her know. Ending eating pancakes with Tony is not the apex of your high school
it is
time.
Fantastic. But,
right? There's other things you can do. So definitely I was terrified.
Question for you.
Yes.
So opening scene.
Opening scene.
Very early. It's the everybody. Oh, it's right after Pink parts ways with his girlfriend.
Yes.
They're going to meet.
That whole relationship yeah. is its own.
They
thing.
Will not talk to each other the for rest of the night right, until right? the night is over.
So they're going to meet up later, blah, blah, blah. And he takes off and passes a little, there's a shed and it has on the side of it.
Say, what does it say?
Eat more possum.
Yes.
So
play on words.
Well,
okay. I believe so.
So I just happened.
I believe he took a deep dive. Let's see.
I think so.
Well,
deep
so
dive.
I did. I
chasing
I saw
the muff
it.
Around. Yeah.
So I thought. I wonder what that, like, what does that mean? So I did a little search. So the Urban Dictionary says there's a Southern slang for just sucking it up and dealing with the bad situation. So for example, so you're broken, hungry, just suck it up and eat more possum.
Oh, you know,
that's
nice.
Like a slang. But gotcha. There were several people online going back and forth going, no, I clearly remember watching this on VHS in the 90s, and it did not say eat more possum.
Oh, okay.
They changed it.
And this one guy in here was saying, and actually if you stop it, you can tell, they're making the argument, you can tell that it's been digitally altered at some point.
Oh, okay.
The color of the shed's a little different. Kind of looks like somebody's pasted like on the, I don't know.
Bad cover.
So I was wondering if either of you watched it before I did. Yeah.
So what did you believe it did say, so, Rob? Well, just tell us.
But here's what I, yeah.
I don't want to Time say out. It. It's a naughty word.
Yeah, it's a naughty word. My problem with your theory is, so we're going to digitally edit that part out, but we're going to leave in the, that's what I like about these high school girls. Yeah, we're going to leave in some of the other.
Yeah, it wasn't even the worst thing.
Big things.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to leave a lot of those other things in, and that's the one thing you're going to target to take out.
Yeah. Well, when I was reading through Universal, when they were first trying to figure out what rating they wanted a PG-13 rating.
Yes.
And the makers of the movie said, we have 78 fucks in this movie.
That is correct.
And we've got drinking and smoking weed throughout this mm-hmm. entire movie.
Yes.
And then once the movie was done, Universal was mad because they already had the R, so they were mad they didn't throw in the nudity as well.
Yeah. So, I saw that, but I also saw a thing where they interviewed all the actresses and not one of them would have signed off
on
doing
nudity.
Any nudity.
Oh, yeah.
And so.
And it did not need it.
And it didn't need it.
It wouldn't have. It would have been. So, if they would have done that, it would have been kind of like a throwback to like 80s style teen mm-hmm, comedy stuff. But it doesn't need that.
No.
It
would have taken away from the storytelling, I think.
It's more realistic, the all night chase.
Yeah.
I think. Mm-hmm. To me, because. Again, as teenagers, that's more what it was like. They weren't just naked all the time.
No.
Well, at least not for me.
Very little of the nakedness.
Very rarely.
Very little.
But the chase is there. The part where you're, you know, but again, they're that girlfriend of Pink's, Simone. Mm-hmm. That's just a weird thing. They don't talk all day. And mm-hmm. she literally walks by him like three different times during the day and at the Emporium, everywhere. They make no conversation with each other. And then at the end of the night, they're like, man, let's go to Houston. All right, let's go.
Yeah. Yep.
And then makes her sit in the back seat with Slater.
Yeah.
And he sits in the front
Perfect.
Seat.
Perfect. Yeah. He called Shotgun. What can
I'm
you
assuming
say?
I know what the nature of their relationship is at this point. So.
Yes.
It is what it is, right? But good for Randall Pink Floyd because he's got to do what he wants to
That's
do.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He's got to just get to live
L-I-V-I-A. L-I-V-I-A.
So, yeah, just all the. And there's some weird stuff in the. Not weird, but there's a few questionable things in the movie. I think Kurt and I had talked about this before. So they've got like, what, 8 to 10 cases of beer in the trunk of that car?
Oh, when yeah. they get the middle schoolers.
Yeah.
The
so second O'Banion's kind
of car. They get Hirschfeld.
It's yeah. O'Banion's car. It's just filled in with bottles and cans. Mm-hmm. So I got two problems here. One, that stuff's hot. They live in Texas.
Gross.
It's May. That's I've true. Lived in Texas in May, and it's hot as heck. So that beer is not cold. And two, mm-hmm. they're driving around like maniacs chasing these kids. That thing would just blow up in your face the first time
glass
you open
bottles
it.
Would I mean, be broken.
Yeah, That's glass true. Bottles are broken. So I just like how subtle, though, Donnie was when he comes back and he opens the trunk and he goes, ladies, and it's just covered in beer. Like, it's just no big thing. Yeah. Who, well, and they who's had, that kid? They had, just some kid we found wandering.
Yeah. And they, had, the, rec they had the beer at the baseball game.
I love that.
Yeah.
Just sitting on.
They had beer everywhere.
All yeah. the adults. Oh, they were at the theater.
That's right.
Because there's an Alfred Hitchcock movie mm-hmm. playing. Yeah. And they're just sitting in the back on the chairs. And they're just drinking beer. And when O'Banion right. walks up, they hand him a beer. Right. And he goes, oh, you guys didn't hear. Yeah, I got a shotgun pulled on my ass.
Yeah. That's funny.
So, all right. Well, now that we talked a little bit about the film, mm-hmm. let's go ahead. I know people are waiting. So let's jump into our categories.
Hey, here come our categories. Our recall movie categories.
You didn't know. Yes. You didn't know I could sing that good.
That is my new favorite song.
It's not. Not many people can hit that octave.
Like you did a fantastic job.
It's Mariah Carey, Celine Dion, and me. That's it, right?
I so, don't. I don't.
You were right above Ariana Grande.
Right above her.
I don't regret that at all.
Don't regret what? That's,
that sound.
That sound effect.
It's one great. Of my favorite things.
It's our new song. So well, we've said a few of them.
Yeah.
Already, but maybe. They'll either get repeated or maybe we'll have some different ones. So mm-hmm. first category, favorite quote. Lots of quotes. This is one of probably the most quotable movies of mm-hmm. the 90s. I can almost get a quote for every scene. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was really hard just to pin down what I thought my favorite one was. Mm-hmm. I did figure it out, but we'll start with Kurt.
Ooh,
what you got
go first? All right. So picture it. The bell's ringing.
Yes.
For the very end of the school.
Mm-hmm.
School's out. And the teacher goes, hey, guys. One more thing this summer, when you're being inundated with all this American bicentennial, 4th of July brouhaha, don't forget you're celebrating the fact that a bunch of slave-owning, aristocratic white males didn't want to pay their taxes. Have a good summer.
So first of all, she was a hippie, right?
Oh, yeah.
She was in college as a hippie, whatever that thing is. But she's kind of cool. I can understand why Donnie asks if they want to go out with her this summer. But I love it. She pats him on the head like he's a little kid.
Hey, I think we should get together.
It's
going
to be 18, you know, it'll be legal and everything, you know. So, but yes, that speech is fantastic because no one's listening to her, but she still kind of just does a little hip thing. Mm-hmm. Have a great summer.
Yep.
You know, I like the didn't want to pay their taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't want to pay their taxes.
Yeah. The teachers are
white aristocratic slave owning
aristocratic white males.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good.
That's fine.
All right, Rob, what you got?
So I'm up at the moon tower.
Ooh. Good.
Was that blood?
Or is it the how many people?
Yeah. Mike and Tony have just arrived. And they run into Clint.
I like
I love Clint.
White Lightning.
And
that's right.
Clint and him get into a little scuffle there.
Yes.
Clint ends up with his shirt off.
Yes.
But
don't fight a guy that pulls his shirt off.
He says
bad move.
It was just hot. It's Texas.
He says, I only came up here to do two things: kick some ass and drink some beer. Looks like we're all out of beer.
Yes.
By the way, I have a problem with that because he came up to do three things because he was smoking weed.
He was.
Yeah.
No, token reefer. Some reefer.
Token
reefer.
Some reefer.
Yeah, that's right.
What am I, pothead with my buddies?
Yeah. So I thought that line
calls
was
him
really...
Isaac Newton.
Yeah. Yeah. He had, I had some issues with Clint.
Observe while I, And then I like when Mike's like that male greaser dominant monkey motherfucker.
Yeah.
Huh, motherfucker.
Yeah, he gave that a lot of
thought. And he's like, yeah, he's being stalked by a Neanderthal. Yeah, Clint does not think of him again.
No.
He's being stalked by a Nazi.
He wasn't being stalked by anyone. Clint literally never goes around him again. I'm pretty sure Clint forgot because later when he pours the beer on him, Clint's just hit, oh, I've never met a, I forget the name, but he goes, I've never met a Sarah before or something like that. He didn't give two craps about him anymore, but Mike could not let it go.
Nope. No. And I could see.
It's going to stay with me forever. Yeah.
But he had it all planned out. You know, he was like, I'll just get one hit in.
Time it.
And then everybody will break it up, not thinking Benny will keep everybody back so they can fight.
Yeah. He wasn't wrong. That usually does happen that way. And I'm going to tell you right now, he got a great first shot in.
Yeah.
I mean, he put him on.
Clint took it, though.
Clint did. Yeah. He was right
back. He popped right back.
But had Mike gone in for a second shot, I think he's got a better opportunity. Yeah. But Mike got the one. I think he was shocked he got it in. And I'm assuming Mike hasn't thrown a lot of punches, just the kind of guy he is. No. I mean, he landed that square on the chin. Like, it wasn't in the side of the neck or he missed or anything like that.
No, I thought his thinking about it long term was actually pretty smart. He was willing to take a few.
Well, yeah,
to kind of create some street cred for him.
Yeah, the perfect thing he said, people, 10 years from now, it's not who won or lost the fight, just that they got in a fight.
Yeah.
But again, I think that goes back to what we talked about before with the kind of that through line of kind of taking control of your life, right? And here's Mike.
Well, that's what he was trying to do.
This guy's just going to, just machismo said, dude is just going to,
well, he said,
and I'm going to go let him have it.
He said, this isn't going to be another insignificant event that's going to lead to me being an ineffectual nothing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's something like that. Yep. So, well, my favorite quote comes from Mike. Mm-hmm. And I love this quote. I probably laugh harder at this part than any in the movie. So here's my scene. We're at the torture pit for the girls.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They're looking around, they're watching this, and all the guys are sitting on their tailgates or by cars.
Watching.
And Mike says, see, that's what's fascinating in this. He goes, not only the school, but the entire community seems to be supporting this, or, at least turning their heads. I mean, they apparently have permission to use the parking lot. No parents seem to mind. I mean, they're selling concessions.
Yes, the concessions.
I mean, the way he delivers that, they're selling concessions. It's so good.
Yeah.
I laugh so hard every time. But it's my kind of humor. His dry, sarcastic deliveries are so good. Like when he's doing the thing later, he's like, I was going to be a lawyer. But he goes, and then I saw the crack of the ass. And he goes, I just realized I don't think I really like the people I'm supposed to represent. I don't think I like people, period. Yeah. Well, you guys are okay.
And then he goes, well, so you're not going to be a lawyer? And he goes, what are you going to do?
I want to dance.
I want to dance.
So, I got a couple others that were really close on my – another one is Mike. Mm-hmm. And it's when the all right, he pulls up and he goes, new Fiesta in the making. Yeah. He does the whole thing. And then when he does ditch the two geeks, get in with me, but we'll deal with that later. And then he goes away and she goes, I thought he was cute. He goes, it's disgusting. He goes, you realize when we graduated, we were like 3 years old. he goes, but we're going to the party, right?
Yeah.
So we're all going to go. Yeah. And then.
Yeah, they don't even fight it. They're like, but we're still going to go to the party. Well, I guess. Yeah.
And then
Carl.
All right. Carl pulls Hirschfelder out, which I don't understand. Hirschfelder, I'd have been like, no, I'm staying here. I've got a girl.
Oh, yeah.
Go away. But he gets him out and he says, we're freshmen. We're in the big time now where all the girls be putting out.
Yeah.
That is such a freshman thinking thing. Like, we're going to, these high school girls are just going to
only that, come.
They're going to love us.
Oh, no. They're going to hate you.
The rest of that quote is, he goes, the days of you sitting around pulling tongue are over or something.
You wouldn't know what to do with it
if you had gotten there. So don't worry about it. And then my last one was Benny. So when he pulls up and does a CB, as I said, he goes, he gives the speech.
That's my favorite.
One lick each. He goes, oh, yeah, Mitch Kramer. Mitchie, we're looking for you, pal. He said, your ass will be purple before the day is over. And then he goes, have a nice day.
He kisses the microphone.
I like Slater when he does the check you later. Donnie goes, what are you doing? Check you later.
Girls don't want to hear that shit.
Because he never left the sniffing butt stage. Yeah. That's
another one like I always do, me and my wife both quote this one. It's the, what's in the bag? A sixer.
A sixer.
Just, I like anytime somebody comes home from like a store or something with a bag, what's in the bag? Just have to do a sixer.
So, but, well, I think we can't leave the quote category.
All right.
And not leave Wooderson. All right.
Well,
so he's got probably three really good quotes, right? Mm-hmm. First of all, the all right, all right, all right is historical. Yeah. Like everybody, I don't care what age you are now, everybody knows that.
Yeah. Say, man, you got a joint?
Got a joint. It'd be a lot cooler if you did. That's a line. And then the, that's what I like about these high school girls, man. Yeah. I get older.
They stay the same age.
I mean, it sucks. Gross. It's super creepy.
After talking about the 13-year-old incoming freshman.
But
he's got another one
I love those redheads is great. Yeah. The ditch the two geeks and get in with us is really good.
Yeah. So. One of the ones I like at the very end, party's over. They're part of the moon, and they're all piling into his car, and he goes,
watch the leather, man.
And he has a little giggle.
He's so giggle.
It's holding the cigarette.
I will say, when they're racing up there, when he's yelling at Benny's truck, his mouth's not even moving. The way they cut that sound is really bad. Because he's driving, and he's just smiling, but it's like, I'm going to blow the wood screws off your doors, man, or something like that.
I have another one down. He says, sure, this isn't from Wooderson, but it's Tony at the end of the night when he's dropping his girl off. He says, sure, it's nice to pile on some pancakes and syrup after a night of beer drinking, isn't it?
Nobody likes Tony's.
Nobody likes Tony's.
But I was like, that, I remember that, right? I mean, there were nights where you'd stay out and...
You're at the bar
21 or you're bar 41.
Bar 14, baby.
Getting that full breakfast.
You know,
the bar 14 breakfast. Really good. Three plates of everything.
I mean, you haven't even expelled the beer yet.
Yeah.
And well, you're piling breakfast on it.
So, all right. Anyway. My last quote, though, is Mel. And Kurt knows. We just watched it, and it's so funny. They call Mitch over when he's talking to the sophomore girl. And he says, let me ask you something. Are you going to be fucking that later? Or are you going to be a little, you know? And he goes, how do you know I haven't already? And he goes, it's past your bedtime. His face, when he goes and laughs backwards, he's like, get out of here. that's funny. So, all right. Well, we could probably quote that forever. We're missing a bunch. The wipe that face off your head, bitch. I'm sick of looking at all of you is really good.
It's hot out here and I'm sick of looking at all of you.
What's the, will you marry me? I don't know. What's in it for me?
Yeah.
He goes, go like this.
Well, even then that,
and her confusion is what's funny. Cause she goes, he says, spit or swallow.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she goes, whatever you like. And he goes, whatever I like. Well, I'll definitely marry you.
Well, the funny part is
and she goes, you're an asshole.
Yeah. The guy is sitting next to him on the tailgate.
So degrading.
Even Slater's going, this is so degrading. This is awful, man. They're even calling out how this is wildly inappropriate.
And you can do Slater too when they come over and, hey, we got a report card and say, straight A's.
How'd you do? Straight A's, man.
And her look on her face. Was like okay, so and just like the beer delivery guy, wrong Mr. Pickford altogether. My problem.
Well, he goes, inconvenient for you.
But when he walks away, that beer guy's so mad, throws the clip.
His
over.
Date night is all screwed
oh man,
up.
He had a I got date. This little piece.
I love Pickford's dad starting unpacking. We're not going anywhere.
By the way, Pickford's dad's suit.
It's great.
It's awesome. The short sleeve thing with the butterfly collar. And I don't know. The guy, too, with the gun, he goes, don't move or I'll shoot the shit out of all of you.
They're in Texas.
He goes, messing with a mailbox, a federal offense.
Federal offense.
So there's just too many. But anyway, lots of quotes. You could go on forever. We could probably do an episode just on quotes. So, category two, favorite main character. So I hesitate to do this, but Rob.
Ooh.
Go ahead and lead us off.
Mine's obvious as Wooderson.
Oh, wow. Nice.
I think, me personally, I think he makes the movie. You take him out and it's a different movie. It just doesn't.
I agree. Yeah.
So I think his one-liners, but then at the same time, I think his character...
Is gross? Yeah.
Well, his character's gross, but I think he represents a really legit...
Yeah.
Character that we all grew up with, right? I mean, we all know these people that we went to school with and they never left.
But I would like to
know. They never left and they actually came back.
Yeah.
They never really left. They graduated and they were still hanging out with this, you know, all know who they were. And he's going to Jace. He's going to go to junior college. He's working for the city.
But what they never give you, which I would have liked, is how do Pink and them know him? Like, how far ahead? Maybe he was a senior when they were freshmen. I mean, they're going to be seniors. He's been graduated for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
How did they know him? I just, that's the part where I'm like, where's that bridge? And I think an underrated funny part is when they pick up Mitch mm-hmm. and Pink goes, hey, do you know Wooderson? No, how would I know Wooderson?
Yes. He's 10 years older than I am.
Yeah. Why would I know this guy? Yeah, no. I just thought it was such a subtle throwaway by Pink. Yeah. I think Pink's just high at that point, but he's just like, do you know Wooderson? And, oh, no, man, sorry.
Yeah, I just kind of assumed.
And what do we think he is, 23?
23, 24.
Yeah, I think that, like I assume that. They just, I think he was a football star. And I think I think the town knew him. And
but
I
they
think
know
he's...
him enough, like Donnie goes, oh, I haven't seen you in so long. So he,
yeah.
My assumption is it's like Varsity Blues, where mm-hmm. he's showing up to football parties yeah. or something like yeah. that. Okay.
Because I know even guys on the basketball team that, you know, were long graduated.
Yeah, yeah.
And they would still come back and help coach practice. They would yeah, still come. I think they were still living their glory days.
Well, McConaughey through, wasn't coaching anything. But so he loves those high school girls, man.
That's right.
So all right. Wooderson for me is my guy.
Yeah, what's your favorite main character?
I went with Slater.
Nice.
Yes. I just put in here,
Slaterson.
I go, he is a better pothead than Spicoli.
A little bit, yeah.
I just like his delivery mm-hmm. and actions yeah. of everything he does. I like the little subtlety when they go to Pickford's house, and right after he goes, I got straight A's, and they walk in the house, and he steps on the little bush
yeah.
right before they go into the house, and he's like, oh, it's yeah. just his mannerisms I thought
yeah,
were
he's
great.
Good.
I love his George Washington speech that he does. Yeah.
Very good.
That's
aliens.
And aliens and how he smokes yeah. the reefer.
I love the...
Martha would have a big bowl waiting for him.
Yep.
Well, when they're climbing up the tower.
Yeah, he hits his head on every beam.
Yep.
And he goes, I heard it doesn't hurt after the first couple, though.
Yeah.
Well, he goes, how many have you had?
Four.
Oh, you're dead. Oh,
you're
man.
Dead, you're man. Dead, man. You're dead. I like how he shows up to buy weed, and he knows it's going to cost $15. Only
can
has $5 on him.
He goes, yeah.
can you
buy
me
10? Yeah. Or when he's on top of the moon tower, and he says,
oh, yeah.
He goes, how many people do you think out there right now are fucking just going at it?
Yeah. Going at it, yeah. I just thought everything he did was great.
Yeah, like, it's awesome.
I'm just letting you know you're getting shotgun because I'm going inside.
And then what is he, when he's in Wooderson's car, hey, we had gym together.
Yeah.
So easy answer is Wooderson because you're right. He makes the movie, but not my favorite character. Yeah. I think you're going to be a little surprised by my favorite character. Adam Goldberg as Mike Newhouse.
Yeah.
I love his dry, sarcastic humor. He doesn't take crap from Clint. Great head of hair, even though I found out it was a wig. Just his delivery on stuff. Like he says something in classroom, he's reading that signature paper. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I can't believe they're resorting to this neo-McCarthyism. And Tony goes, neo-McCarthyism? Yeah, I like that. One. And he goes, yeah, it's great, Tony. I gotcha. And so... when he tells him the story about the full great female body, but the head of Abraham Lincoln, he goes, I'm sorry, man.
Sorry.
You know,
he's sorry.
And he shakes his head. So, I mean, I don't think I could hang out with him a long time.
No.
But his delivery and his dry humor, the concessions, the mm-hmm. all his kind of quick wit. Oh, mm-hmm. we were like 3 years old when he graduated. And all that. I want to dance. I don't know. He, outside of Wooderson, I think he has the next best set of.
Yeah.
Lines that are really funny, I think, throughout the whole movie.
And for me, from a writing standpoint, and I'm sure that they didn't, I'm thinking too much about it.
No.
But yeah.
Never.
No, I think Tony and Mike represent kind of that inner dialogue because they're the real logical,
yeah.
you know, like rule follower, you know, and I think they act as kind of that voice in our head
yeah.
that's doing the right thing and following the rules and you know, I'm going to be a lawyer and I'm going to do all these things, you know, but I want to dance.
Yeah.
And I think that's growing up in high school, right? They're all getting to that, their last year, and they have to decide what is it I'm going to be. And he's that, you know,
yeah.
voice of reason kind of throughout the movie. And I think that's really good.
I love.
Very clever how they put that together.
I love Mike. He's funny. So that takes us to our favorite supporting character, category 3. I'll lead this one off, and you kind of previewed it earlier. It's Julius Tenen as Mr. Payne, the 8th grade teacher. I love when Benny first starts talking. Of course, he just smiles.
Yeah,
he's like, "Yeah, that's gonna happen." And the quote is, "Rob, it's like our sergeant told us before one trip into the jungle, men, 50 of you are leaving on a mission, 25 of you ain't coming back." And he just laughs. Yeah. And they just stare at him like, "What the heck are you talking about?" So, by the way, teacher's named Ginny Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that
Mrs.
was the
Stroud.
The hippie teacher.
The brouhaha.
They call her by the first name.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, "Hey, Jenny, you know, blah, blah, blah.
We should get together this summer."
She keeps telling him, "He'll be legal. I'll be 18, you know."
She didn't even say anything. She just pats him on the head.
I love when he's in the doorway looking at the other girl. "Come on, let's get out of here. Let's go. He said something like, "We can get naked right now," or something like that. And that's when she comes out. So. Yeah. All right. What do you got, Kurt?
My favorite sporting character, Rob went with as the favorite main character. Yeah. I said Wooderson.
Oh, wow.
Just because he wasn't
the least amount.
I was thinking the high schoolers were the main characters, yeah, and he doesn't come through until half hour into the movie.
I just think, but once he's in a lot of it.
But so I think that's the only reason when that movie came out, I don't think he was intended to be the main.
Yeah, it was supposed to only have two lines.
Yeah. His own.
Well, it's supposed to be pink.
My other favorite, if you want to go smaller, is the mailbox guy with the gun.
The mailbox. Oh,
yeah. Just because it's just hilarious. It's a federal offense.
Offense or something like that. Yeah, it's good.
And it's like, why didn't you pay for the beer? I paid for the beer, man.
Yeah. Just paying for the beer. What do you got, Rob?
My supporting character was Benny.
Oh, nice.
I like him. I don't know why. I just like Benny's his great character, because I feel like I think he's a popular jock.
Yeah.
But he's not he's not upper echelon to me. I don't know. Yeah. And just the way his speech on the radio, yeah. The way he delivers it and the way he, he's ready to beat some ass with his paddle and stuff and the way he says it. But the other part that I rewound it a couple times is when they're up at the moon towers and he's on the night's running down.
Yeah.
And he's in the back of his pickup and he goes to stand up.
Oh, man. And he does the half vomit in his mouth, sits back down.
And he stands up, he gets about halfway up and he realizes, nope. I'm just sitting back down. I'm putting my hat on. And I was like, I know exactly. Yeah. And does it so well. Yeah. And I'm like,
if you look next to him, Mel is in way worse shape. Yeah. Mel is like, his eyes are coming out of his head and he's shaking around and he just like passes out so those two slept in that truck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That night.
They slept.
Night.
There.
So, yeah. So I like his character and Cole Hauser plays him really well.
Yeah. So let's stay with you, Rob. Category 4, favorite scene / event.
Yeah. I really liked at the end when they're on the 50-yard line.
Okay, yeah.
I thought for me that was the
scene.
The culminating scene of the movie.
That does make sense.
That's where the headiness and the headiness came out.
Because there's a couple, Wooderson says, if it ain't that piece of paper, there's some other choice they're going to try to make for you. You got to do what Randall Pink wants to do, man. Let me tell you this. The older you do get, the more rules they're going to try to get you to follow. You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N. And then Pink makes that comment about, you know, if they keep referring to these as the best years of my life, remind me to kill myself.
Yeah.
And then Dawson talks about, and I think this is my favorite. No, it's so good. He says,
"Well, a good one.
Well, all I'm saying is that I want to look back and say that I did the best I could while I was stuck in this place, had as much fun as I could while I was stuck in this place, played as hard as I could while I was stuck in this place, dogged as many girls as I could while I was stuck in this place." And I just think that's
what
that movie's about.
Okay, yeah. Mr. Premature.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but I don't know. I think that scene really kind of sums it up, that they're all in these different places and they have to make this life-changing decision. I think it's really good.
Well, my favorite scene was the hazing of the junior high school girls. Again, I liked, obviously, the exchanges.
He likes being mean to little girl children.
No, I like the exchanges. Again, when she talks to Tony for the first time, for whatever reason, she's like, he goes, "Well, what do you do for me?" She goes, "Whatever you want." And he goes, "Imagine the possibilities." You know, so he's that. You know, Slater and them are making their comments. And then Parker Posey, I think she's really good in that scene. She's like, "All you prick teases, all you little bitches." And like, she really has been waiting 3 years. Like, where O'Banion just loves smacking freshmen, she's been waiting to run this. And they put her in charge, of course. She's, you know, the other girls are doing it. Like, even Simone's like, "Look, I did this when I was a freshman. Mm-hmm. You'll do it when you're seniors." And then she yells at them because you're supposed to. And Jody's doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And even the blonde girl, they're not being very overly aggressive. But like when she's putting the pacifiers, "Open your mouth, bitch." And she's just like going through. So she really was really into it. So I think it's just a great scene. I think it's hilarious. Yeah. And then they, you know, Mike again, his quote of, "She might look pretty good once you wipe all the shit off of her." So.
Alrighty, my favorite scene is when Benny does the warning when they drive up outside the middle school.
So great.
And he's, "Mitchie, Mitchie, Mitchie, Mitchie."
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's just, I love the drinking the beer on they're driven up on the grass right outside the school window.
And just the ducks on a pond.
And the teacher just looking up, starts giggling.
Every teacher apparently in school, because no teacher cares. Yeah, no. No one comes out, no principals, no nobody. And he's doing it for the whole school because, you know. That's great. Yeah. I love that so much. So, category 5, best location for the film, for whatever location you want, or your favorite area.
I'll go first since I went last time. Best location, I said the Emporium. I mean, it's got pool. It's got games. It's got foosball. And they don't care if underage kids bring in alcohol and drink it.
There's a sign that says
you must be over 18.
Oh, okay.
There's a sign. They got a sign up.
And I don't think anybody actually works there because you don't see anybody working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel free to smoke weed in the parking lot.
A couple times, I think somebody referred to it as the rec center.
No, the rec center is where the junior highs were doing the dance.
Yeah.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's where they get Hirschfelder, because they were
hanging around the rec center when they shouldn't
have been. That's where they should have been.
Yeah.
The night sucks. So that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
So what do you got, Rob?
I thought the whole moon tower.
I thought that really captured kind of what parties were, and
I think this is a really nice job.
Find a place to go.
There was a lot of things that happened there that were pivotal to the movie and characters changing and growing and stuff.
I liked the school. It looked like an actual high school.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times in movies, they'll be real big. Even the John Hughes movies, these big grand high schools. This just looked like a normal school you would have gone to. The halls were dingy. The lockers didn't look very good. The classrooms weren't that great. It just looked like an actual school. And so it made that initial feeling of, and it's the last day. Now, I wouldn't say we threw our papers in the air like they did. I don't remember doing that. No. But they did have trash cans.
Lockers were spray painted on. You know, I'm like, seniors or, you know, class
they
of
did
70s.
It different in the 70s.
So there's a couple different things. But I just thought the school actually felt real. You looked at the outside of it. The yard looked real, you know. In the parking lot, I mean, besides some of the really nice cars. Mm-hmm. Banyan didn't have a nice car, though, so. He had that primered.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Still a good car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So.
It's better than my first car.
Mm-hmm. So does that take us to category 6?
Well, I was going to. You talked about O'Banion's car.
Yes.
Did you read where he broke his ankle?
Yes.
Yeah, when he
smashed his paddle.
When he's mad and he smashes his paddle.
You can see the ankle roll to the side all the way.
He was in a lot of pain. He said it hurt, but he had to get the scene done. So he gets in the car. It's already broken.
Yeah. Great scene.
He said stepping on the gas when he peeled away, he said it was the worst pain he ever felt in his life. But he got off screen. But he went right into a cast and everything. No. So
my wife was wondering why he never shows up after that. Is that just because he...
Until the moon tower?
He got pain all over him. He went home and he was not ready to party.
That's what I told him.
That would be my guess.
I think his social status was done.
Well, he pushed the freshman. He said, F you, F all of you. And then he got in his car and he took off. So I'm guessing he's taken a day or two to like be mad. He'll come back to him. Yeah. I mean, it's going to happen. All I have to say, though, is this. It was a great retaliation by them.
Yeah.
But that's a small town. And O'Banion seems like the kind of guy that's not going to let that go.
No.
I'm guessing Carl's later, that's not going to be just a paddling. That's going to be an ass whooping. Like, I seriously kind of fear for Carl and them because he's going to track them down at some point. And O'Banion's not going to go with a paddle. He's going to go with his fists.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't seem like he's...
he's unhinged.
He definitely seems like he holds grudges.
Yeah. A little bit.
He seems like a grudge holder. He's unhinged. Well, you talked about his car. So that takes us to category 6 perfectly, which is our favorite vehicles. So what do you got? Kurt.
Ooh, back to me. All right. I went with Benny's Chevy C10 truck.
I went with the same one. I love his truck so much. I wanted that truck in high school. That engine sounds good.
Yeah.
Like I loved when he was letting him out and the way it just stopped against the curb.
Oh yeah, the little fishtail. Like, they just hit the curb.
Fishtail and it hit the curb and like I love that truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1970.
I got a 72 C10.
Yep. 72.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh.
72
C10. I love it. The color, the stripes, the white on it.
Yeah. I put that he even races the Melba Toast very nicely.
Melba Toast.
Going up to the.
And the Melba Toast has some fucking muscle.
That's a great quote.
Yeah.
Although it's got pizza cutters.
It does. It needs some wheels.
Needs some wheels like White Lightning.
Clint's car.
Clint's car.
Yeah. Great car. I went with Melba Toast.
Oh, nice.
Great car. Yeah.
You're just all in on Wooderson. Yep. Whatever Wooderson's got. That's what I'm doing.
You didn't want Pickford's GTO,
I'm surprised
huh?
you didn't go with Wooderson's outfits, too, because the pink salmon pants were working.
Yeah, the pink salmon was great. Yeah.
He made that choice. That was a Matthew McConaughey choice.
I liked Wooderson. And I know you didn't go with the truck because it's a Chevy. Sorry.
Yeah.
Ford lovers.
Yeah, but there were some other ones in there that I, well, the White Lightning. I thought that
Trans Am.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. The Aqua truck, it's older, like a 50s truck.
The girl's truck?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
that
nice.
Was actually a really nice truck, too.
The coach is driving a 1970 Ford Bronco.
Oh, here we go with the Bronco. Yeah. It wasn't that cool.
A little blooper, Pink's El Camino.
El Camino Excelente.
Is actually a 1977.
Oh, no. Maybe he got the first one off of the...
That's right. So. They sell them a year before.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah, but
maybe
it was
like a graduation. He's the starting quarterback.
Maybe. Right. We'll see. Yeah, I don't
all
think
right.
so.
So, okay. Well, that takes category 7, least favorite character. I'm going to lead this one off.
Go for it.
I've got Tony Olsen, played by Anthony Rapp.
I really don't like him.
I don't like Tony.
Nobody
I,
likes Tony.
Look, I think you
Tony has not done
it. You could have replaced that guy in any part of this movie and it would have been fine. I don't like his delivery. I don't like any of his lines. I don't understand why Sabrina's talking to him. Even Mike gets tired of it. Like I said, when he's like, yeah, it's great, Tony. Like, I mean, enough with that guy. He's doing the whole, like, he's just pretentious, which I know you appreciate, Rob. But like when he goes, oh, I never thought I'd be with greasy fries and burgers at the top.
Jalapeno burgers and greasy, soggy fries.
What are you talking about? He's that guy that's in Austin and is like, I can't wait to get out of here. Or outside of Austin in a little town. You know, I got to get out of here, you know, and all this stuff. But he's just so annoying and just not good. So, yeah, I think he's the only part of the movie as a character that I just don't really like. I don't love Carl either, but I can deal with Carl. I understand him. He's a junior hire. He's trying to get big time. But Tony sucks. He's just all the way around.
Well, now you led me into mine because mine is Carl.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yes. Carl is terrible.
Carl is a little terrible.
I mean, every time I watch this movie, I hope it changes a little bit.
No.
And O'Banion catches him and just whoops his ass. Yeah. I just hope he gets caught.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the big mouth. He does a little cock block on Hirschfelder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The thing where he comes to the mound, they're going to get you anyway. Yeah. Just go for the rest of
just
us.
Just go. I like how they kind of leave Hirschfelder. After they pull him out of the dance, then they just kind of leave him and he gets stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just abandon him.
Getting double teamed by Benny and Hirsch.
Yeah.
And O'Banion.
O'Banion. Yeah, Carl sucks.
And then Hirschfelder, after he gets beat, you know, he gets the beer. And what does Carl do? Throws it in the air.
In the air, loses the beer.
Yeah, way to go.
Damn
thanks,
it,
Carl.
Damn it, Carl.
And Carl, I don't know why Carl. Carl, just his face does not go with his real name in real life. Esteban.
Esteban Powell.
Esteban Powell. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure Carl he's a fabulous human being in real life.
I don't know
we love
why,
you, Esteban.
I don't know why they're hanging out with Carl, but there's something Carl's got that we don't know about. Because there's no reason to be talking to that dude. So, and I'm going to tell you right now, but we all know, by the time that guy's a senior, he's going to be intolerable.
Yes.
So
it's going to be the next O'Banion.
Oh, he is. I've said that. So what do you got, Rob?
I just don't think he's going to be big.
My least favorite character was O'Banion.
What?
Yeah. I think
that's great.
From an acting standpoint,
you have to have a guy like
Affleck
that.
Affleck sold it. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the guy's a jerk. And
but you have
he's
to have
the
a
least
jerk.
Likable character.
Yeah, least likable works.
But even his own friends.
Yeah, I mean, they make references.
They just put up with him because he's a good blocker. Yeah.
He's a pain in the ass.
They said he's kind of a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just...
They said, what a dumb shit.
Yeah. You know, and I think he thinks everybody likes him. And
yeah.
I mean, even this first scene, he pulls up and he's got to use Benny's truck because he doesn't have any, you know, he's low on gas. You know, so he's just...
He's destined to be a manager at like the Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah. Well, he's going to get with Carla or Darla or whatever her name is. Darla. And they're going to have kids.
Wow.
Get,
that
you know, get,
would be
that's
quite
a match.
Pairing.
You know,
so ooh, that's, fantastic.
But yeah.
Karen...
His acting.
She's a future
great.
Karen.
He's a great, great character in the movie.
Yeah,
but as a character goes, he was
all right.
Didn't like him.
Okay, so, I got you. Category 8, least believable event. Ooh. This was tough because most of it is just they're driving around, so it's pretty legit. But I have a couple.
Okay,
the first one I got is, look, they're in a small town. They're racing a lot and they're driving their cars over curves and things a lot
through
no
people's
cops.
Yards.
Only the cops now, at the when they're. On the football field. That's the only thing they care about.
The only thing I can get is...
he was like a
rent-a-cop.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I can get to is maybe they're football players. And like in Varsity Blues where the cops were kind of like, hey, let them go. They're football players.
It's okay if Tweeter steals your car.
The one... So that's close. But I'd say the worst one is when they have Mitch throw the bowling ball.
Yeah.
From where he threw the bowling ball to the trajectory that it went through the window of that car doesn't make any sense. Like, physics just don't support. He did this. It should have really just fallen out the window because he didn't put much into it. Mm-hmm. And it goes across into the window, and it comes from the other direction and hits in the middle. The physics don't work on that.
About that bowling ball, I don't know why I found it funny is when they're at the Emporium and he gets in the back seat.
Oh, look at the bowling ball.
Who's bowling ball in this?
It's yours, man.
Why didn't Pickford ever bowling ball? You think Pickford's bowling?
I don't know.
Maybe like that's what he does. Other
why he's good is at there foosball. A bowling ball in there? Right, so. And then, I don't know.
Well, what do you got, Rob?
Well, the whole hazing.
Okay.
It got pretty brutal.
Well, Richard Linklater said that he based it on that things like that happened in Texas where he was.
I'm sure it was,
sure they overdid it a little for the movie.
I just thought maybe the hazing got a little, but I mean, it was, 70s and times were different. But the other thing I did read was their hair.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that that would have been very inaccurate for the time in Texas. Okay.
A little because shorter?
I guess Texas schools had a very strict hair policy, no hair policy or something.
But like I think you look at – so Benny had the hair, right? Mm-hmm. But I think you look at Pink and Mike and Tony and them, they're trying to be against
– Oh, absolutely.
So yep. I would think they would grow it out just as a –
The counterculture
type of thing. Yeah, I can see that. So what do you got, Kurt?
I went with Mitch Beinbeer. There's no way anybody's going to believe he's 18.
Yeah, well, you're 18, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just working for the city.
I would only say
he mimics Wooderson.
Yeah,
I mean,
everything Wooderson said.
I could understand it if the guy just says, "All right, here," and just sells it to him. Yeah. But when he asks him, "It's are you 18?" Nobody's believing Mitch is 18 years old.
Nobody is. But at the same time, I just think that guy doesn't care at all. Yeah. I think he's saying
he does the look above the glasses, like I'm really paying attention right now.
I think he does the formality of. Because he even mentions, I'm getting off. He just wants to go home. Yeah. Like, he's had enough of today. So, it's a little crazy.
Right, another one I put was anytime Mitch just grabbed his nose because it's a stupid tick.
Do you know how many times he does it in the movie?
No. Have you ever noticed that when he grabs the nose?
The bridge of the nose?
Yeah, the bridge of the nose grab is just terrible. Yeah.
So you can make that. They've made that into a drinking game where people watch the movie and every time he touches his nose, you have to drink. And you'll be done fast. Because there's one scene where he just does it like four times.
Yeah, it's right outside the Emporium.
When he's talking to Sabrina.
They got Hirschfelder.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, they got Hirschfelder. He goes, oh, man. And he does it again. And then
you'd have a beer done.
She goes, I didn't know Jody was your big sister. Well, no, I've never told you. But anyway. And then she goes, I told him to take it easy. Of course. And then he does the whole
thing.
It's
just weird.
Yeah, that's I don't know why he did it. And they said he just did it. It's funny, on South Park now, the Stan Marsh character, he does it all the time as a little tick they do in the cartoon.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, well, this would be your favorite category, Rob, so I'm going to let you lead it off.
Oh.
Best song in the movie.
Song. Man, there are some good ones.
Yeah.
My favorite one, though, is Aerosmith's Sweet Emotion, the opening song.
Gotcha. Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, I thought
it opens the movie perfect.
Yeah, it builds, and it's really good, and then just great lines in it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means, but some sweet hog mama with a face like a gent said my get up and go must have gone up and went. Well, I got good news. She's a real good liar because the backstage boogie sets your pants on fire.
Well, the next time we're talking to Steve, right, we'll find out what that means. Steven Tyler.
Oh, Steven. That's right.
Next time we talk to him. Maybe we'll get him on the show.
We'll score Aerosmith tickets.
That's right. Aerosmith, three weeks.
Priority of the summer. 3 weeks. So what do you got, Kurt?
I went with the opposite of the beginning. Went with the end with Slow Ride from Fall.
Very good. Oh, that's great. Yep.
Just makes you feel like, I'm riding off into the sunset.
Well, and I Googled that song. I was like, I wonder what that's about. And then I was like, oh, that's clearly about sex.
Oh, yeah.
The whole song.
Most songs are.
And actually, little tidbit for you, and I'd never heard it. If you play that song again, there's a kind of a rocking noise at the very beginning.
Is it a bit?
It's the headboard hitting the wall.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Perfect.
I did not know that.
Now you do.
Now you do.
Now you can visualize it every time you hear it.
You'll never listen to
that. Now he knows
again.
That, and knowing's half the battle.
That's right.
That's right.
So, bing, bing.
Well, my favorite song was not at the end. It was not at the beginning.
It was in the middle.
It's right in the middle. Well, close to the middle. It is Hurricane by Bob Dylan.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
When they walk, when Wooderson leads them into the Emporium, it's a little bit of a slow-mo. it's kind of like they're pointing at people, but he's not. And I mean, just that walk in, that walk he has, like he owns the whole place. Yeah. And they're behind him like, oh, we're with this guy. And everyone's like looking like, oh, Wooderson's here. You know, it's like, and that song, by the way, Hurricane's a fantastic song. Probably my favorite Bob Dylan song. And it just, when it times up and goes, it's perfect. I think about it. When I hear that song, I think about that scene in that movie. It's awesome.
I read several things online that people said you can't hear that song and not think of that. Like, that's almost become synonymous with that scene.
Yeah, the doors open and it's Wooderson in slow-mo, and you're just like, oh, yeah, this is it, man. He's the guy. So, all right, well, our last category, it's going to be our favorite category. Category 10 is best paddle, right? So some of the paddles had a name on them, and there's a few you could see where they actually had designed them. I'm sure they were all designed. I saw some background ones. They were designed. I just couldn't see names. But we've got the best paddles. So, Kurt, we'll let you lead it off.
I went with O'Banion's Fuck You paddle.
All right. Yeah. And what does it say on the other side?
Well, on one side, it's got confirmed kills and has 19 checks marks, and it says 1976. So that was the year before.
Yeah.
So he nailed 19 kids the year before.
It also says OB Badass on it.
It does. On the back side, it says OB Badass. Next to the handle, it says the kid swings a big stick.
Kid swings a big stick. Yep.
Let's see here.
It says Boomer.
It's got the mud flap girl silhouette sticker on it.
Yeah. Well, it mine's different. So in case Rob's taking the same one as you, I went with the soul pole.
Ooh, very nice.
Because I like Mel's soul pole. I just think it's hilarious.
I bet you do.
I think it's so funny. Well, oh, doesn't it? That was a perfect time for the timeout, and you didn't make
timeout.
Oh,
man.
No, but,
don't do it. Don't do it. Time in. Let's go.
But yeah, soul the soul pole's funny. I just think it's hilarious. And then when you see Mel holding it, you're like, okay.
And doesn't it have a little, it has a little afro on it?
It does. Yeah. It's so good.
Well, on the other side, it says, hit it out of here.
Hit it out of here. Yep.
The red side.
Well, we went with the trifecta because I went with Benny's shark bite.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I like the bite out of it.
Yeah, it's good. He's the only one that's got the holes for the aerodynamics.
Oh, yeah. Makes it go faster. Yeah.
He puts a lot of thought into it.
Yeah, he's in shop class. Yeah. He
paints a little four-leaf clover on it.
Oh, yeah.
But he's got a grid that just says beatings.
Yeah.
Hasn't filled them in yet. So he's this is a new new paddle.
Yeah, he was making it.
Maybe that's where Mitch has to sign his paddle later.
Yeah, he said that.
It's got the cloverleaf Rebel 77. It's got the little shark mouth out of it. It's got a cloverleaf and it says, Here's to you, Ma.
Yeah,
here's to you, Ma. And the scene where they're in the at the drive in.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there and he goes, he reads it, and he goes, yeah, that's your mom or something like that. He makes some comment to Pink. He goes, yeah, that's your mom.
Yeah. So, nope, that's good. So we got all three of them. Soul pole, baby. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for the categories, but I have an extra one.
Oh, no. Always with the extras.
This movie was based in 1976.
Okay.
Came out in 1993, so that's a 17-year difference. Okay. So if they made this movie today, it would be based in 2006.
Oh, God. Okay? I am old.
So with that.
That's crazy.
That's terrible.
So if they'd have made this movie in 2006, let's just say they had, right? Who's in that movie?
Not me, because I'd be a dad.
What actors would that look like? So I'll do a couple while you think. So I got, in 2006, Josh Hutcherson, who's in Hunger Games and all that. He was 14. He could be a good Mitch. You know, he's kind of a little squirrely, you know, things like that. I got Emma Stone. She was 16 at that time.
Oh, yeah.
I got her as Mitch's sister, Jody. I think she's cool. She's kind of people like her. Scarlett Johansson, I've got just one of those senior girls, the blonde. Yeah. And Evan Rachel Wood was another one of those senior girls. And Emma Watson. I think that would have been a good group of those. And then for Pink, I got Zac Efron. He was 19.
Okay.
So, and he was still unknown in 2006. Yeah. And then for Wooderson, he was 30. But he can play younger, I think. I've got Sean William Scott, a.k.a. Stifler, from the American Pie movies, maybe as Wooderson. So,
yeah, a lot of those American Pie kids could have.
You could blend those in.
Yeah. Done
it, yeah. Shannon Elizabeth. You could have made Tara Reid one of the horrible the ladies. Mm-hmm.
She could have been Simone.
I couldn't figure out a Parker Posey. That's the only one I couldn't come up with.
Oh, yeah. That's
because you got to have, like, she sold that really well.
She's zany.
Like, yeah, and you got to be kind of bitchy.
Yeah.
Like people kind of have to not like you a little bit.
A little over the top, so
she did that perfect.
Yeah, so, that's a tough one. I don't know.
You'd have to think on that one.
I would need some.
You would need some time.
Some lead time on that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, to pinpoint who would play who.
Yeah.
Who would be.
Just think, who would be a Wooderson?
Ooh, a Wooderson. That's like the hardest one to
pinned down. Who's like Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah.
So, well, we'll let you all think about it. Maybe on another event we'll get down to that. So, well, I think that covers everything you would ever need to know about Dazed and Confused. Anything else? Did we miss anything?
I don't think so.
Don't think so.
I think we're good.
Yeah. So
great movie.
Oh, the one thing we did not talk about was Pink's belt buckle pipe. I thought that was fantastic.
His belt buckle pipe.
They're standing outside the Emporium.
Bong.
He takes his belt buckle off, smokes a bowl,
puts it back on his
belt.
Oh, I totally missed that.
Oh no,
I saw the hammer.
Oh yeah,
this is just a little one. It looks like his belt buckle.
Yeah, he takes it off. And I was like, oh, look at that.
It's just a very subtle little thing. And I was like, nice touch.
Yeah.
Well, and did you see when the three guys showed up at the house?
Oh yeah. Hold on. And he lights it up.
Well, the three guys that show up after. The party's been canceled.
Yeah,
those three, and he's holding the hammer.
Yeah,
the hammer bong.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said not to knock till he lit it up. He's like, hold on. And then the dad comes out. Well, same with Tony and Mike and Cynthia. Mm-hmm. Mike goes,
no. He just turns around and walks away.
So, all right, Kurt. Well, as always, we love your you sniffing around on the. Apparently that triggered that too on the podcast. So we'll see you again in the future. So thanks for being here.
All right. Thank you for having me one more time.
Yeah. Well, it is definitely past our bedtime. So that brings us to the end of this episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. We hope you've enjoyed our look back 30 years later at the 90s classic movie Dazed and Confused. If not, it'd be a lot cooler if you did. We want to thank all our listeners, whether first timers or subscribers, for hanging out with Rob, Kurt, and I. Hopefully we gave you an hour or so of laughs. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall every Tuesday.
What are we doing next time?
On our next episode, Rob, you're going to like this one because you're a critic of everything. So we're going to be picking our worst songs from the years 1990 to 1992. So check out the billboards. And you're going to pin down your 10 worst songs you can find from those 3 years.
Oh, that'll be easy.
Oh, he's already got the list right now. Pretty simple.
Can already think of some.
He operates so fast. You know, you say worst songs, he's like, oh, I can do that.
Got that.
Write it out.
There's good material there.
Well, you guys got anything else?
Do not.
I do not.
Do not. Fancy goodbye.
No fancy goodbyes.
No fancy goodbye.
All right. Peace out.
All right. Peace out.
Oh, jeez.
He missed a lot of his timeouts.
He only had the one timeout.
And you gave him several opportunities.
These overalls are getting hot.
That's a quote.
Then take them off.
That's a quote you should have above your door.
He's having trouble with his pants.
Can't get the button.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.